Now in his mind he saw a railway station at Karagach, and he was standing with his pack, and that was the headlight of the Simplon Orient, cutting the dark now, and he was leaving Thrace then after the retreat. That was one of the things he'd saved to write, with in the morning at breakfast, looking out the window and seeing snow in the mountains in Bulgaria, and Nansen's secretary asking the old man if it were snow. The old man looking at it and saying, "No, that's not snow. It's too early for snow." And the secretary repeating to the other girls, "No, you see, it's not snow." And them all saying, "It's not snow. We were mistaken." But it was the snow, all right. And he sent them on into it when he evolved exchange of populations. And it was snow they tramped along in until they died that winter. It was snow, too, that fell all Christmas week that year up in the Gartal. That year they lived in the woodcutter's house with a big square porcelain stove that filled half the room, and they slept on mattresses filled with beech leaves. The time the deserter came with his feet bloody in the snow, he said the police were right behind him, and they gave him woolen socks and held the gendarmes talking until the tracks had drifted over. Insurance on Christmas Day. The snow is so bright it hurt your eyes when you looked out from the Weinstube and saw everyone coming home from church. That was where they walked up the sleigh-smoothed, urine-yellowed road along the river with the steep pine hills, skis heavy on the shoulder, and where they ran that great run down the glacier above the Madlener house. The snow is smooth to see as cake frosting and as light as powder, and he remembered the noiseless rush the speed made as you dropped down like a bird. They were snowbound a week in the Madlener house, that time in the blizzard, playing cards in the smoke of the lantern light, and the stakes were higher all the time as Herr Lent lost more. Finally he lost it all, everything, the ski school money, the season's profits, and then his capital. He could see him with his long nose picking up the cards and then opening. Sans voix. There was always gambling then. When there was no snow, you gambled, and when there was too much, you gambled. He thought of all the time in his life he'd spent gambling. But he'd never written a line of that. Nor of that cold, bright Christmas day with the mountains showing across the plain that Barker'd flown across the lines to bomb the Austrian officers' leave train, machine-gunning them as they scattered and ran. He remembered Barker afterwards coming into the mess and starting to tell about it, and how quiet it got, and then somebody saying, "You bloody murderous bastard." Those were the same Austrians they killed then that he skied with later. No, not the same. Hans, that he skied with all that year, had been in the Kaiser Jägers, and when they went hunting hares together up the little valley above the sawmill, they talked of the fighting on Pesubio and of the attack on Pertica and Ossoloni, and he'd never written a word of that. Nor of Montecorno, nor the Siete Comum, nor of Arcedo. How many winters had he lived in the Vorarlberg and the Arlberg? It was four. Then he remembered the man who had the fox to sell when they'd walked into Bludenz, that time to buy presents, and the cherry-pit taste of good kirsch, the fast-slipping rush of running powder snow on crust, singing, "Hi-ho," said Raleigh, as he ran down the last stretch to the steep drop, taking it straight, then running the orchard in three turns and out across the ditch and onto the icy road behind the inn. Knocking your bindings loose, kicking the skis free and leaning them up against the wooden wall of the inn, the lamplight coming from the window, where inside, in the smoky, new wine-smelling warmth, they were playing the accordion.